Today on Revival for Mission, we'll be talking about one of God's most fantastic creations, the human mind. Did you know there are nearly 100,000 miles or 161,000 kilometers of blood vessels in the human brain? And the brain has 100 billion neurons. During formation, these neurons develop at a rate of 250,000 per minute. Stay with us as we look at some ways to keep this amazing creation very healthy.
The Bible has a lot to say about the brain and the human body. Elder Wilson, lead us through a scriptural thought about this.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made, said the psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 14. And nowhere is this more evident than in the human mind. Although weighing just 3 pounds or 1.3 kilograms, it is the command center of the human being. Each section of this amazingly designed organ controls or regulates different functions of the body, some unconscious, such as breathing and the beating of the heart, motor skills, balance and vision, and others more conscious functions, including feelings and emotions and thoughts and decision making. These higher functions of the mind take place in what is known as the frontal lobe, and especially in the prefrontal cortex. This part of the brain is involved in a variety of complex behaviors, such as planning, and is greatly involved with the personality, that is, who we are. Most importantly, it is through this part of the mind where God communicates with us as we pray, study, and meditate on His Word. The Bible says, "Keep your heart, that is your mind, with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And also in Proverbs 23:7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So it does matter what we think. Today on our segment to focus in on things that are really, really important, the interchange that we have with our guest, we have a wonderful guest, Dr. Neil Nedley. He is president of Weimar Institute. He's also the founder and director, medical director of Nedley Depression and Anxiety Recovery Program, Optimizing the Brain. Neil, it's just great to have you with us.
Thank you
for being here. It's wonderful to have you as a not only as a health professional, but as a friend.
Yes.
You and I have known each other for some time, and I have appreciated your work so very much. Neil, tell us just a little bit about yourself, your family, Erica, your wife, your 4 sons, and the work you're doing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm an internal medicine physician. That also has an emphasis in gastroenterology, the difficult-to-diagnose patient, and also mental health, as you mentioned earlier. And I do have a wonderful wife who's a physical therapist and have 4 sons, one who is a physical therapist, another that's a physician as well, and then 2 younger sons that are still figuring out what they're going to be.
That's marvelous. And we do have something in common amongst many things, and that is both of our wives are physical therapists.
Yes.
And what a blessing that is in helping people in a very specific and helpful way. But tell me a little bit about the work you're doing. You're an internist, but you've specialized in many aspects. But give us a little understanding of what it is that you have been involved with that has kind of led you to the point of focusing on mental health.
Well, actually, internal medicine is adult diseases of the internal organs. And the brain is an internal organ, but most internists center in on the GI tract or the heart or other organs and leave the brain to others. And I realized that one out of three patients that I was seeing had major depression early on in my career. And I thought, if it's that common, I need to be an expert in it.
Sure.
And so I actually sat at the feet of preeminent psychiatrists. I learned as much as I could about it. And then I took my internal medicine approach. Internal medicine is not just diagnosing a constellation of symptoms and coming up with treatment. It's actually looking for the causes. And so I recognize that in typical psychiatry, there's not much workup for the causes. In fact, when I would ask the experts, they would say there's no real known causes. And I said, if I search for causes, how many would I find? Maybe 8 or 12, they said. And I began to search in the scientific literature. And after I searched 70 causes that had been found,
that many,
I realized I started to suffer from depression because I wasn't done yet. And this was pretty exhaustive. And
sure.
I ended up outlining over 100 different causes and then developing a workup to try to find the specific causes in my patients. And what, once we were able to find that and reverse those causes, we started to see unprecedented results. And that's how more and more of my life started to go into mental health. My wife, Erica, actually helped me with this. She says, you know, you're a good critical care doctor, you're a good GI doctor, you're up there, the upper echelon, but there are others in the country that are as good as you, but nobody is doing what you're doing in the mental health arena. And so as a result of that, I began to emphasize that mental health aspect. And now that's our number one thing that I'm dealing with is difficult mental health cases.
Well, in the U.S., Dr. Natalie, every 30 days, there are 2.5 million people that search for depression-related issues on Google. And that's just Google. Doesn't even include YouTube.
Yes.
Everybody's searching for good mental health. Mm-hmm. What does that mean exactly?
Good mental health means your ability to know and understand your emotions and the emotions of others and respond to those emotions in a healthy way. And that means that we actually are able to manage our emotions. We're able to manage relationships. We're able to empathize with others. And we're able to undergo proper motivation to achieve our goals and also to be able to interface and help the community and our families and the world around us. And so that's optimal mental health.
I see. Do you think some people struggle more or less with this? Let me go through a little bit more. One of the big five personality traits that the psychiatrists look at is neuroticism or sensitivity to negative emotion. Mm-hmm. And it seems some people are more sensitive to negative emotion or others. They will read the situation in a certain way that is usually looking at the negative or they're more sensitive to it. Mm-hmm. Are some people more prone to depression than others? How does that work?
Yes, some people are more prone. And what we call that is a mental filter. Mm. A mental filter means we're only looking at one side of the equation and we're not really looking for evidence to support a different way of thinking about it. And there are people that are more prone to that biochemically. Mm. There are certain genetics that can lead to that. One of those called undermethylation, where you're having problems with serotonin activity or you're having problems with dopamine activity. There are certain things in the way you were raised in your childhood that are critically important. If you were raised in a highly negative environment with a lot of abuse and trauma, you're going to have a mental filter as a result of that attachment issue. And there are attachment issues that can lead you to go this direction. Unfortunately, mental illness is at an all-time high in our world. It is rapidly increasing. You know, you mentioned I'm a president of a university, and I was just at a conference where the number one reason why college presidents lose sleep is the mental health of their students. Mm. Mental illness is so rampant on our college campuses that they have begun to outsource in a major way to deal with the mental health issues of our students. And one of the reasons is because of the way we're being raised, even, you know, being distracted by devices all the time can actually lead us to not be able to think very rationally about things and come up with quick fix solutions that are not fixes but actually go in the wrong direction, and they're actually short-term fixes that lead to greater problems down the road.
Well, you mentioned dopamine, and one of the ways the best minds in the world are being used by tech companies to create dopamine-inducing apps that are absolutely shifting the way our brain is operating, especially with young children.
Yes.
Does that have an impact in the all-time mental health problems we're having today?
It absolutely has an impact. Mental illness began to really skyrocket in America after 2012. That was 5 years after the smartphone came out. And that's when over 50% of Americans started to own a smartphone. Hmm. And these devices actually, you know, we think they're great because connectivity and those sorts of things. But studies show that when students go online to do their homework and they have full intention of doing their homework, within 5 minutes, they're no longer doing their homework because a chat has come in. And one of these dopamine, you know, inducing things that come about because they've studied what you're interested in. If you're interested in BMWs, they're going to have a BMW floater come by within 5 minutes, and you're going to be distracted. In the area of our brain that is required for focused attention is actually here in the frontal lobe. It's the anterior cingulate gyrus. That's identical to the area of our brain that's required for managing distressing emotions. And so if we don't build up the ability to have focus and concentration for prolonged periods of times, we're not going to be able to manage our emotions. And this is why people start going to self-mutilation and other types of extreme measures to try to feel differently about their emotions, because they can't manage them and they don't have the brain ability to actually manage those emotions. And a lot of it is because of dopamine rushing types of things that they're going for that are short-term things that they think they're taking a break from their homework. But in reality, it's destroying their ability to manage their emotions.
And at this point, I'm pretty sure people that are watching from home are beginning to get more and more desperate, because how do you get rid of it? Maybe you're watching this on your device and you're wondering, what do I do in this situation? Is there any hope?
Oh, there is hope. Yes, there is hope. Now, for people with, you know, that have significant depression and anxiety, we actually recommend an electronic fast. In fact, Dr. Victoria...
Say that again, an electronic fast.
An electronic
people
fast.
People that are not used to the term fast, what does that mean? Does that mean you use it really rapidly? I'm pretty sure.
No, that means no
abstinence.
Electronics.
Stay away from it.
That's right. For 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
6 weeks.
No electronics?
No electronics.
Can you imagine how many emails would pile up in 6 weeks?
And then during those 6 weeks, we actually teach them how to use it intelligently. And by using intelligently, it means batching all their emails into one particular time. It's turning off all the push notifications, all the ability to get Snapchats or Instagrams or those sorts of things, actually signing off of social media accounts and actually being intentional when they get online ahead of time to know what it is I'm going to do and how long am I going to take to do this, and then getting off of it and then spending the majority of their time in non-screen activities. And if at work they have to use a screen, we recommend none of these push notifications, so that you can still develop the frontal lobe and begin to do better as far as focus and concentration. And then you're going to be able to learn how to manage your emotions as we teach that aspect.
You know, Neil, we could listen to you for 3 hours straight. We only have a few minutes.
Yeah.
You're a board-certified internist.
Correct.
Which I think is that's a wonderful specialty. All specialties are important, so many of them. But this one is foundational. And you have to do a lot of research. And as I listen to you, you have given a lot in lectures that I've heard, given a lot of very evidence-based information.
Yes.
Now, this program that you have of optimizing your brain, can you explain that to our viewers? What does it mean to optimize your brain? And what kind of evidence do we have that shows that you need to do that?
Well, first of all, intelligence we have thought of before as kind of a fixed trait. It is not true. Our ability to learn, retain, and apply knowledge can go up or down depending on what we are doing with our brain. And we can take someone who has struggled through school and even considered to have learning disabilities, and if they get on a program of diet and exercise in the proper use of their brain, they'll be able to actually get up in the top 5 percentile of the nation in regards to IQ. And we've had individuals that have been, that have failed high school
who that are flexible,
who are physicians today. Yes.
Amazing.
So we have the our brains have wonderful abilities to change for the better or for the worse. And it really depends upon our lifestyle factors as to how this is going to go forward. And the same is true in regards to our emotions. And where IQ and emotional intelligence come together is actually here in the frontal lobe. So unlike a lot of other programs that are just dealing with the limbic system and emotions, we need to have a control center of those emotions, and that's the frontal lobe of the brain.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the evidence base that you have mentioned are based on things nutritionally. Even light therapy, for instance, can help our frontal lobes, can help serotonin activity. Hydrotherapy, contrast hydrotherapy, can start waking it up. Certain brain exercises that can be that we can develop in our brains over time where they can change dramatically for the better and work far better for us in regards to personal achievement and in regards to relationships and emotions.
You mentioned some examples of people that you've helped.
Yes.
Tell us a bit more.
Well, I could go into Les, who in high school, he barely made it through. You know, today you can go through the typical public high school and not really pass any tests and still get your certificate. We don't want to decrease people's self-esteem. And so
everybody gets a medal. Right?
That's right. And he was one of those guys who made it through. Nice guy, but, you know, just didn't have it academically. And one of the things that began to wake him up before he came to us was a vegetarian restaurant in Ardmore, Oklahoma called Veggies. He started to get interested in health, and the director of that restaurant was actually someone who could teach him the Bible, and he was very interested in that. And so he ended up actually going to a Bible training school, Mission College, and the director of Mission College, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, Les is a nice guy, but I don't know he's going to make it through. You know, he just doesn't have it academically. And but he said he is improving, you know, we're going to work with him and things like that. And so he ended up graduating. He ended up not being at the bottom of his class. And then he came back to me in Ardmore, Oklahoma. We were eating at this restaurant together. And he says, Dr. Nedley, I've been a Bible worker for a year and I love it. But I think I could do more for God's work if I were a doctor. Do you think I could ever become a doctor? And I said, you know, Les, being a physician is not for everybody. But if you really want to have your brain work well, I would be willing to put you through an optimize your brain approach. And he says, I'm all in. You tell me everything I need to do. And so we did that, and he followed every recommendation we made. He went to University of Oklahoma, and he started taking these hard sciences. And at first, he was getting B minuses. He was struggling hard, but as he got his brain wrapped around the subject, pretty soon A's were coming.
Wow!
He did well in his MCAT, and he just graduated from medical school.
Praise the Lord!
From Oklahoma, and now he's putting his time and energy into really combining health with changing people's lives in a positive direction.
Stories like this, I just have to say this. They go against what modern culture seems to be saying. And that is, well, you're a victim of your circumstances. So if you're born to this class or in this circumstances, it's not really your fault that you're unsuccessful. it's the system that is rigged against you. What you're presenting is there are many things that you can do as an individual which will absolutely change the shape of your life and your future.
Absolutely. No question about it.
We've kind of run out of time, but this is so exciting. And before Sam wraps up our little section here, give us some practical ways in which a viewer today who's struggling with depression and anxiety challenges, what are some initial practical steps that person can take to bring themselves out of that setting and see the world in a different perspective?
Well, it does require a comprehensive approach. And so not knowing what that person is struggling with, maybe a good way of referring them would be actually getting a home-based version of our Depression and Anxiety Recovery Program. There's a nice little test called the Depression and Anxiety Assessment Test, and it will actually look at the underlying factors that might be a cause in them, and that way they can deal with those particular factors. Most people have no idea why they have depression or anxiety, but this will give them a very great plan, and they can start on that plan. It may be, changing their circadian rhythms. A lot mm-hmm. of people that are depressed and anxious, they're late night people, mm-hmm. and they get up and they feel like zombies in the morning. Mm. And in order to correct that, we actually need a medical grade light box where they're exposed to that light every morning at 6 a.m. And in 7 days, they become a morning person. Mm. They're ready to have energy and be awake, and their serotonin levels are working better. It might be some significant or even mild nutritional changes to get more tryptophan into their brain. Get more tyrosine into their brain so they can make more serotonin and they can make more dopamine. It may be the way they're thinking. The typical person, 80% of their thoughts are negative and 95% of those thoughts are repetitive. And so that requires a little bit of brain training to analyze your thoughts. Instead of the negative automatic thoughts, actually analyze them. Look for distortions. There's 10 different distortions in thinking that we're all prone to. And once we learn those and can correct those thoughts, we can actually start creating new neural pathways in our brain that are more balanced and more rational. And so those are just a few of the suggestions that might be very helpful and transformative in people's lives.
Dr. Great. Neil Nedley, thank you so much for being here and for going through this experience. If you're watching at home and you would like to know more information, revivalformission.tv. But don't go away. After this short spot, we're going to come back with Dr. Neil Nedley, more questions that he will answer, questions that you've sent from home. Don't go away. Welcome back in Revival for Mission. Now we have Dr. Neil Nedley answering your questions. The first question says, every morning I drink a cup of coffee to help me get going, and it really helps. But I've heard caffeine can have a negative long-term effect. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, the reason why it really helps, neuroscience has actually demonstrated that we are getting rid of the acute effects of caffeine withdrawal. And actually, it's just bringing us back to normal levels of energy. So it seems like it helps, because when we're using caffeine on a regular basis and we don't have it in the morning, we're going to feel like a zombie. And drinking that cup of coffee puts us up to where a normal person would be who's not consuming caffeine at all.
But that's what drugs do in general.
Exactly. It ends in INE because it is a drug. And so the best approach, actually, is to go caffeine-free. Now, there is about 2 or 3 days of headaches, but actually, in our program, we have a lot of people that are using caffeine. We have a caffeine-free program. They get over the caffeine withdrawal very quickly. We give them more tryptophan foods. We give them hydrotherapy. They don't have the bad headaches. It's actually pretty easy. And they've noticed within 7 days, their energy level is even better. And it lasts the entire day. They're not having to drink coffee again or to do other pick-me-ups that they were having to do before they came to the program.
So the important thing is stay away from caffeine in any form.
Yes.
Because it's really going to have a negative effect.
It is. And it also blocks the adenosine receptors in the frontal lobe. This is why, you know, even quarterbacks don't use caffeine. Because they're having to analyze information and make a decision. And, of course, Tom Brady, who's many people consider one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, he makes it very clear, no caffeine. And that's why there's attempted murder all around him, and he still makes a wise decision with the ball.
Now, here's another question, Dr. Nedley. I feel depressed quite often, but I'm too embarrassed to tell anyone. I'm afraid what others might think of me. I really don't know what to do. Any suggestions?
Yes, I would suggest that you go to our online site and take the free depression test there. And then also you could get the home-based version of depression and anxiety recovery and see how that works out. You're going to find out certain factors that are going on in your life that you can easily change and maybe eradicate this on your own. If that doesn't work, we have community programs, we have residential programs. But don't keep this to yourself. If you're just keeping it to yourself and not trying to get help, things only get worse in the long run. And so have this be a red alert that you need to change some things. And there are some easy approaches that we can that we have available that can help you.
Dr. Nedley, thank you so much for being with us. We just need many segments of this program with you on. I hope you'll come back again for Revival for Mission, because really, in order to do mission, we need to be in the best of health,
absolutely,
physically and spiritually.
Well, thanks for having me.
Friends, today we've just barely scratched the surface of a very important, very deep topic, how to have a healthy mind. I want to encourage you to visit our website, revivalformission.tv, where you can find more information and resources on this very vital topic. In closing, I encourage you to claim this beautiful, powerful promise found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stay close to Him, and we'll see you next time right here on Revival for Mission.